I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We're going through the hour here. Yeah, plugging right along. Just a couple more segments left. We've got a few things to jump into here. And I didn't want to miss this one. I saw a list. And anytime there's a list, Scott, we have to go over the list, okay? And this list just so happened to kind of draw a picture of the – this is according to USA Today. But they have – a top 10 most powerful college programs of all time, baby. So let's go through that list. Now, now you haven't seen the
list. You know what's going to happen to the list?
What's going to happen to
the list? Half of the list is going to be SEC team, and it's going to make me mad.
I was going to do – now, I think you've actually seen the list. I forgot.
Please tell me what constitutes a powerful team.
Well, now that's
about
what I was
winning
wondering.
And losing? Is it what – what is the criteria?
That's a really good question, because honestly, if you think about it, I mean, really, you should just say it's about winning, baby, right? You know, national championships. How many banners do you have up? How many? I think that there comes into account the idea of historically you being around and winning, and maybe if it's not national championships, it's just being there in the hunt every year or getting that notoriety or the recognition by just being that big program. So think about historically what programs should be on that list. Now, this was not listed as like a 1 through 10. This is just like the 10 most powerful. And so you can kind of put them in whatever order you want, because if you're in the top 10, that's pretty dang good. And probably all of these teams, save maybe a couple, would argue that they're the number, that they're the biggest program ever. So let's go through the list. Let's start off with probably the most powerful team that's been while I've been alive, and that is the Alabama Crimson Tide.
We're not that old or young.
I'm not that young, but there hasn't been as dominant a team in my lifetime as the Alabama Crimson Tide. And so Alabama's on the list. Now, next up on the list, let me just go through the list. Clemson, okay? And now that's a more recent thing.
They shouldn't be on there.
Have you ever thought to yourself, Clemson, what a national power?
No.
Now, right now you do.
Well, in the last couple of years.
Sure. But this is the top 10 most powerful programs of all time.
Again, I don't understand what – okay, to me this sounds like winning. So is it just that they've won?
I already know what it is. I already know what the thing is that constitutes it. And I don't think it's winning necessarily, because Clemson has just recently been winning, right? So let's keep going down the line. Ohio State. Okay, their reputation precedes them. Obviously, historically, a longtime winner. You know, they've had some lean years, but not very many. Oklahoma. When you and I went through that list of most impressive teams of all time, didn't they do the most, like the best teams every year for 150 years? And there were like 20 Oklahoma teams. So it's no wonder that Oklahoma would be on that list. I think Oklahoma deserves to be on that list.
Oklahoma may be higher than Alabama.
Or overall impact.
In the same breath.
All right, now how about this one to get you fired up, Scott, to get you mad? LSU. I didn't think LSU.
LSU?
LSU's on the list.
No, the LSU can't be on the
okay.
list.
Okay.
So why
LSU's
are they
on the list? They said the program has 189 wins since 201 wins since the year 1999, which ranks fourth among all of the Power 5 teams. So in the last 20 years, they have the fourth most wins. So there's kind of a recency bias thing there. Plus, they've won national championships. Fine. The University of Southern California. I think USC should be on the list. I think USC absolutely should be on
that
list.
I think USC is one of those blue blood programs.
That's what makes it part of that list, right?
Okay.
Florida.
No. Seriously, no.
They're 100 games over 500 since the year 2000.
They had a couple of national championships with
Urban
Meyer.
There you go. Okay, Texas. Another blue blood program.
Yeah, Texas is
probably gets a little bit more by on just being good looking, you know, so to speak. Like it just looks
Texas
like
Texas is like USC.
Yeah, historically
it really is. It should Texas and USC should just always be right in the
conversation.
Right there.
They're right there.
I don't understand Texas. I don't know why they're I just don't. I don't know why
Georgia.
They're...
Georgia's on the list.
Georgia's a recent thing.
I think so too. When I was growing up, Georgia was bad.
Yeah.
And then Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame deserves to be on the list. Historically, Scott, think
Notre
about
Dame
Rudy.
Notre Dame is the most overrated program in college
now,
football.
But hold on a minute. But let me. So,
I might take LSU over Notre Dame.
I'll tell you why this.
Can't believe I'm saying
so
that.
So I went through this list, but I'll tell you why those names are on that list.
Please.
It's money. It's 100% money. It's 100%. 100% has to do with the amount of money. And Clemson is on this list now.
The amount of money that they generate for college football.
It's the amount of money that they can be that they can bring to the table for all of the things being seen on TV. Their alumni base, their donations, their network of alumni that are giving across the country. Where they end up on television is a huge part of that, right? Like the visibility of a team like Texas, we talked about last week. The University of Southern California and BYU were not on TV because a BYU-USC matchup was going to be awesome. They were on TV because the country would tune in to see USC trash BYU. That's kind of what they were thinking.
Well, the LA market's a big market.
Massive. Number two in the country. Yep. So it makes an impact. But again, number two market in the country has all those eyeballs. And what does that equate to? More money. Everything has to do with money on this list. Let me ask you this, Scott.
So it's not necessarily wins and losses, championships. It's about
money. We just
went
through that list. Why is LSU on there? Why?
Right.
I mean, you're talking about a school in Louisiana.
You've made
this point before, too. You go, why is a team in the middle of friggin' Oklahoma
moving
the needle, moving the needle for you? And it's because of the ability to be able to sell that team, the money that those teams bring in. I mean, two Heisman trophies in a row means people are going to be watching this program. People are going to be donating to this program. This is 100%. Now, winning helps. Obviously,
if
winning
gets
you there.
If that's the case, they've missed a team.
Boise State.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yale.
Michigan.
They had all those years.
Michigan.
Why Michigan?
Michigan is like it's seriously. It's one of those traditional.
It's a traditional power.
I mean, when you talk about recognition, when you talk about where it is in a market, when you talk.
When was the last time they won a national championship?
I know they haven't won, and maybe that's what kept them out.
I'm sure that's what it is.
But as far as moving the needle with Michigan, Michigan has a lot of former alumni.
Let me just
very
talk,
powerful.
Okay, let me
school.
Ask you.
Why do you think they're always in the top 10 and they're.
You always bring this up. So this is a chance for you to be able to make the argument. Why is there a team like Oklahoma or Nebraska? Because Nebraska, you know, historically is a program. They'd probably be in the top 15 or top 20 at least for big programs, you know, that are recognized. But they're in the middle of Nebraska. So why can't a team like Utah be on this list? How does Utah in the next 25 years put themselves on the map like these teams? Because obviously if you're a Clemson – you can show up on this list even if
you are in
South Carolina, kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Here's how it happens. It happens when Utah goes to the college football playoffs. And then what happens is recruits change. And really what happens, which I said on our show a week ago, What happens is when they decide that they want to be relevant on a national stage, when they want
to sit
there.
They haven't decided that yet.
They haven't decided if they want to be on the national stage. They haven't decided.
We just want to be dominant at the local level. This national stuff isn't cool.
There's the same argument that BYU says, well, we can't recruit certain people because of where we are. Utah says the same thing. We can't recruit against the SEC. We can't recruit against Oregon and against USC. We can't recruit against any of it. So we got to get these underachieving guys and make the most out of them. And that's the program they've built. And so as long as that belief is going to be there, that's where the program's going to be. Until they go, we're about winning national championships. We're about competing for the Pac-12 championship. I'm just telling you, at USC, they don't talk like they talk at Utah.
They talk way bigger.
Yes. And why?
Clay Helton's a great coach, and he is not even close to what they want right now
or
need.
No, he's not.
It's not even close to what they expect.
No. Urban Meyer walks in the door. He's like, gentlemen, get ready for the ride of your life, and we're going to win a national championship. And you know what? Everyone in that room goes, yeah, I believe you. And he's going to go out, and he's going to recruit these kids, and he's going to go, there's no better place than USC. And he will get those players.
Sorry, did you just say Kyle Whittingham?
No, I didn't.
As if he were coaching it. You did. That was a Freudian slip.
No,
there,
I said Urban Meyer. I said Urban Meyer.
Okay. All right.
What I'm saying is.
Did Kyle Whittingham get that USC job?
You ask me, how does Utah get on that stage?
Yeah.
They have to get one of the. They have to have one of these years where they just break through. But before that, the vision of where the program is and needs to be has to be, we're competing on a national stage.
I think you ignored my question about Kyle Whittingham going to USC.
He's not going to go to USC.
Okay, hold on.
And he's not. And guess what? USC doesn't want Kyle Whittingham.
They want Urban Meyer. They're thinking bigger.
They don't.
They want Jack Del Rio. They want Urban Meyer. All right, we're going to take the break when we come back. 2-minute drill coming up next. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.